Acts chapter 13, please. I'm hoping we don't have any child abuse going on in the church tonight. Acts 13. I did notice that John left where he was seated because it's safer over here. Is that the point there after making those comments, John? Tommy, I think, and you never hear me say this, I'm a little bit loud. Now you turn me off. Oh, boy. I was hoping he wouldn't be like Frenchie, but you never know. I think it has something to do with the sound booth. That's just what I think. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, please. Let's all stand. I'm very happy you're here tonight. I'm not going to give you notes. There's nothing that is startling tonight, but we're going to look at missions in the local church, and I'm going to do it because starting to this week, I'll be gone. Noel in Trinidad is gone. Jim, the very bad guy, Duncan, is trying to get some young people to go on a missions trip. So I want to remind all of us what in the world this is all about. One of the things you find when churches start declining is they have no idea what missions are. I was just watching something recently. It was a public television thing. I have no idea what it was. And a young guy said he was so excited he'd got to go on a missions trip with his church to a third world country where people are poor, and he dug a well. Look at me in the eyes. Send them money. Let them dig their own well. Save hundreds of thousands of dollars. The only place we should ever help a missionary build would be a place like Canada. Third world countries, folks, you can hire people that know how to do things for a dollar an hour or less. But you know why we do those sorts of things? We think they're missions, and it makes you feel good. So we're going to talk about missions tonight. Because, this Duncan, I was going to say drunken Duncan, but really he's not. He's really not. That's a relative of his. He's going to try to get some of our young people to go on a mission trip. And by the way, I know what some of the things he's going to try to accomplish. Do you? Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers. At this stage of the world, friend, a prophet would be someone that received direct revelation from God. The Bible wasn't all written yet. A teacher would be someone like me that preached and taught what was revealed, the Old Testament and that which had been revealed through the apostles and prophets. And he gives the list of them as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So there's this large group of people that are leading the church, a couple of them from Africa, one from North Africa, one from Sub-Saharan Africa, one from probably south of Israel, obviously Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was from Cyprus. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they, the people and the elders, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth, by whom? Did we talk about divine sovereignty and human responsibility? Yes or no? And I said, it's every place you look. Being an Arminian is out of the Bible. Being a hyper-Calvinist, thinking, well, if God wants to save the heathen, God will save the heathen. That has nothing to do with Scripture. God, the Holy Spirit, sends forth people, and those people also, the church sends forth people together. Seems to be simple. We continue. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Of course, Cyprus is where Barnabas was from. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. He was their assistant. He was someone that helped in the work. Tonight, we're going to look at this subject of missions and the local church once again. Father, bless this night, this time, as we consider in our own circumstances, with our own money and our own time. I would just ask that you would help. And I ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It would have probably been 2002. Could have been 2001 or 3. I think I went there to 2004 to Venezuela. But it was early in my trips. And one night I was coming home from Venezuela. I flew from Puerto Ordaz, which Jim has been there, and Fawn and a bunch of our young people flew from there over to Caracas to the local airport, then dragged my baggage up to the international airport, went through all their junk, and went up to the place to get on the plane. Still remember it. Walking down a hallway, you come to a T, you have to take a right to go where the place was, and I saw kids in all positions in the hallway, sleeping, flopping, sitting. Now, this was before cell phones too much, 2001 or 2. So you didn't have cell phone stupidity. Immediately, I knew where they were. They were American kids. I'm not trying to be crude. Are you listening? I looked at those kids, and immediately, I knew what they were. They were from a Baptist church in the South. Sorry if you're from the South. I knew what they were. Going on a missions trip. Now, here's the problem. Girls had the little shorts that they wear that were about that much longer than their underwear. They were seated on the floor with their legs open, spread out. They had jewelry on. They had flip-flops on. And I looked at this group, and I knew this was a Baptist group from the South doing religion. By the way, may I say this? I saw 1 to 2 to 3 of these groups on every flight out of Caracas I ever took. 1 to 3 of these groups. That time, I see them. I know what they are. I know they don't have a clue what Christianity is. This is their religion. I went and did my business. You know, we went on, and I was seated right beside one of these little girls, about 14 or 15 or 16, in her shorty shorts on a mission trip. Which is embarrassing enough. I don't care. You know, I got a book to read. I don't need to bother with this young girl. But I thought, well, I'll be nice. So I looked at her, and I introduced myself, just my name. I didn't say pastor or anything. And I said, what's your name? And then I asked her a question. What are you doing here? She said, we're on a mission trip from our church. And I said, and what have you been doing for? She said they'd been here a couple weeks. What have you been doing? I'm not exaggerating. She could not explain what she had done for 2 weeks. She had traveled from this place to this place to this place. They had visited places. They had seen natural sights. She had spent 2 weeks in Venezuela spending money for a vacation called a missions trip. And may I say this, dressed like a pagan. I wish I only have seen that once or twice. So I want to ask you a question. What is missions? We got young people in this room. Hello? We got young people. I guess all the young people, all the teenagers are working tonight. I think Christy must have grabbed all of them. Look, if you would, in chapter 13, 1 to 5. I'm going to make 3 simple statements tonight. Missions in the local church is this. First of all, missions begin with the local church. You say, where do missions come from? They begin with or in the local church. Missions are not going someplace on a vacation. Missions are not going to Africa and digging a well. Missions begin in a local church. In this case, the local church was Antioch. And in this local church, the people were ministering to the Lord, which is letargeo, which means to worship, serve, minister. The pastors were leading. The people were worshiping God. And in this process of worshiping God, praying, singing, preaching, teaching, and learning, and worshiping God, God, the Holy Spirit, speaks in some fashion and says, separate out two men for the what? For the what? If you do not say it, I'm not going any farther. For the what? I got about three of you. For the what? Finally. By the way, if you do not understand this, this is the reason we have problems finding Sunday school teachers in this church. Some of us want to come and sit. That's our life. It's for the work that God has called us to do. If someone wants to be a pastor, the first thing I ask them, are you passionate about the work? This is a good work. By the way, when we get to chapter 14, when they go back to Antioch, they're going to talk about the work that they had finished. Understand something. If we send kids to another country, they're not going on vacation. They're going there to work, because that's missions. Missions is not going sightseeing. Missions is not having a good time. It's not hanging out at the pool. It's not sunbathing. Missions is work, which is the reason some of us struggle to support missions, because for us, missions are romantic. By the way, just in case some of you don't believe what I said, look at chapter 14, would you? Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 26. We'll come to this at the very end. At the very end of the first missionary journey, it says, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That is the nature of missions. So what do we find in this text? Missions begin with the local church. We find a local church. We find people already serving and worshiping God. We find God's divine sovereignty choosing a couple of men to go forth. We find the human responsibility of sending them out. We find the motivation comes by means of the Holy Spirit. And we find teamwork. But my friend, it all comes down to work. Right now at Lake County Baptist, these are some of the things we're doing. Pastor Warren is going to go to the Philippines for 3.5 weeks. Some of you might think I'm going over to take a break. I work less here than I ever over there. Noel, the first thing he told me, he says, I'm going to be exhausted. And I said, welcome to missions. They're going to use you. They're going to abuse you. I already know I'm going to go to the southern part of the Philippines. I'm going to teach 8 hours a day, and they're going to want me to preach at night. Have you tried that recently? Oh, I forgot to tell you, and there's lots of good air conditioning there too. Right now, from our church, Pastor Warren is going to the Philippines to teach pastors. Noel Hippolito and Bandak Dak is already there. He's doing most of the teaching, and she's doing the preaching. We have many, many missionaries we support around the world working. Jim Duncan and others are trying to work together and trying to organize a teen mission trip. Jim, where do you want to go this year? You want to go back to Jamaica? Is that right? And Jamaica will give the young people an experience outside of America, but they won't, and I'm sure for one day or maybe 2 days out of a couple weeks, they might get to see something. Is that right? But most of the time, they're going to be doing what? Of one variety or another. And they're going to eat at McDonald's every day? And they're going to eat? Oh, yes. You never know what you're going to eat in Jamaica, Bon. By the way, what else are we doing at Lake County Baptist? Are you listening? There's a young guy over here that's kind of worthless. We're trying to get him prepared. Look up here. We're trying to get him prepared because Ralph Warren is not going to be here forever. Jake over here, Jake came here, and one of the things he's going to do is go to Central Seminary. We're in some way going to be help to Jake. You say, why? Because I'm trying to prepare the next generation. What about you? There's a fellow that's hopefully coming back. He's a good-looking guy named Cliffy. By the way, he knows if he comes back to Great Lakes, he's not coming back here to just get a job. He's going to go to Central Seminary, graduate from Central Seminary, and we're going to use and abuse him in the Philippines. Do you say, why? What do you think this church is about? Us taking a break? Us having fun? It's about work. It's about the work of missions. It's about this church sending people out to work. I called another guy, another Filipino recently. By the way, all the Filipinos don't need to go back to the Philippines. I will say this, there's some folks here that might decide they need to do something more than sleep every day. Not every Filipino has the ability to stand in front of people. It's just like anything. You have to have the God-given ability and the passion and all that. Cliffy's got it. There's another little bitty short Filipino. He's about this tall. I called him recently. I said, Romeo, don't you think it's time you go to seminary? And his answer is like, Pastor. So Noel called him. And Noel's irritating him. I don't know if we'll get Romeo to go, but I can tell you one thing. We're going to work on it. We're going to prepare people. We're going to prepare Cliffy. Help him get prepared to teach. By the way, we have this thing called Awana, which some people sleepwalk through, but actually Awana is trying to prepare young people for life and for ministry. We have Sunday school. I think there's women's Bible studies which are preparing ladies, hopefully, to do more than just survive, but also to work. Well, I have said very simply, missions begin in a local or with a local church. Then what should we look for? If we're doing missions, at the end of a missions trip, or at the end of a four-year period, or at the end of a 20-year period, what should be the product? Aaron today made for our family and John and Tiffany and Aaron and Amy, he made some pizza. He got all the ingredients. He made Amy, where'd Amy go? She's with the kids. Made the dough last night. I don't know if you saw this, but if you came up here this morning in the balcony, Aaron was up there and there was dough up there. That was our pizza. By the way, when Aaron made pizza, what was the product? Pizza. So what is the product of missions? It's a good question. Good question. So what is the product of missions? I said number one, missions begins with the local church. Number two, missions results in local churches. What Paul did was not just see people saved, though he did that. Paul saw local churches established, or in other cases, he revisited and helped them get organized, or in other cases, he sent letters to help those local churches. But the product of pizza dough is pizza. And the product of missions, look at me, is not Christians. It's not seeing people saved. It's not going to Africa and having a rock concert and thinking you've done missions. The product of missions is always local churches. You say, why? If you don't result in local churches, all that work just disappears. Besides that, it's not biblical. If you would look with me, please, to Acts 14 and 21. Would you look there? We're going to skip back in a moment, and I don't want to belabor this. Missions begin with the local church. Mission results in local churches. Acts 14, 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. By the way, Antioch was a city in every Roman province. This is in the province of Pisidia, not Antioch of Syria. So they go back to some cities. They had already preached the gospel and taught people. It says, what did they do? They confirmed the souls of the disciples. They exhorted them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So here's the bottom line, friend. Look up here. Here we are at Antioch. Missions begin in a local church. When people are sent out, look at me. Jim Duncan's going to try to take some of your kids on a mission trip. We don't expect Atong, your two daughters, to start a church, though probably they'll be good preachers. We expect them to do what? In some way, aid local churches. They're going to come there and do some youth ministry of one variety or another, not to establish, but to confirm and exhort and train a local church. So we begin in a local church, it results in a local church, or in some way furthering the local church. So what exactly is missions? Answer. It's any and all things that see folks saved, baptized, trained, and organized into local Bible-believing Baptist churches. That's what we're about. Look, if you would, to Acts 13:13. I'm not going to read this whole passage, and I'm not going to focus on anything, really. Acts 13:13, are you there? And when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. Notice the next line. Does everybody notice the next line? What did John do? By the way, when you go into mission work, expect casualties. Expect disappointment. Hello? I'm sorry, folks. We have had a lot of missionaries that we have supported, and some of them have been casualties. One of the missionaries in this room, probably one person knows, maybe none. Maybe just him. We supported a missionary in Russia for years that failed in Russia, came home, and he now is dead. Somebody you supported. I didn't feel like reporting to the church exactly what he did and then got killed in a motorcycle wreck. May I say this? There are casualties when you're in the work. Do you realize that? John Mark went home. We continue reading. Verse 14, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, that's called a sermon, that's the Jewish way of saying sermon, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. Let me say what missions, how it results in local churches. You're going to have some casualties. You're going to do preaching. You're going to do teaching. You're going to do evangelizing. You're going to face opposition of various sorts. I'm not even going to talk about it because by 7 o'clock we're done tonight. But may I say this, was there opposition? Paul got stoned. Paul was opposed every place he went. Folks, this is called missions. It's work. But the ultimate object, what we're trying to accomplish, is to see people saved, but not just see people saved, gather people together in local churches who are then able to do the same and self-propagate. That's the nature of what we're doing. Starting and organizing churches. The further discipling and training. If you look back, and we'll just go to this, look back at Acts 14:22, when Paul goes back to those cities. What did he do? By the way, what do I do in the Philippines exactly? Please look at me. I don't go there to preach sermons. People have asked me to come to various countries to preach. Now, I'm going to be very clear. I have never gone to a country to preach. I wouldn't waste their time or my time. I go to a country to offer one thing they don't have, which is training. Because I can take something. And by the way, pastors in third world countries are dying for training. This morning, right about where Jan is seated, Ade was sitting there, and Linda, and Ade again said, I just talked to the pastor in Cameroon. He is begging for somebody from here to come there. He said even one of the missionaries, because there's almost no missionaries in the English-speaking part of Cameroon. The missionaries are all in the French-speaking part, and they have no training. And he says, those missionaries in the French-speaking part, can they come and train us? Can you believe that? By the way, will I go to Cameroon? Maybe. I told Ade and Young last week, I will go if one of you go with me because I cannot hide in Cameroon. There is no way I can fit in and blend in. So I need bodily protection. But if I go, what am I going to do? What Paul does, look what he says. When they went back to these cities, confirming the souls of the disciples, I think I can do some confirmation. I think I can encourage them or exhort them to continue in the faith. Verse 23, I won't ordain anybody, but I can be part of the training and the confirming and the further training of those elders in every church. And it says, and he prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Next week, Louis. Louis Heras, where will I be? I'll be in your hometown. By the way, I never tell people that I know him because he has a criminal record back there. No, he doesn't. When I go to his hometown last year, there were people from all over the Bicol Peninsula Camarines Norte, Camarines Sur, Albay, Sorsogon. There were people from Samar. There were people from Leyte. There were people from Masbate, all in that region. He's thinking, the pastor there is thinking, there will be 90-plus pastors there this year, just in your area. Oh, by the way, how do these people get there? See this guy? He's worthless. We know that. Can we have an amen? Him, Charlie Ravago. Kuya Charlie, Pastor Charlie is giving money. Why? Because many of these pastors are so poor, they cannot possibly get there. So we will pay their way there, which isn't that much money, 10 or 15 bucks. We will pay their way back. We will feed them for the days that we. Who's the we? Are you part of the we? He's part of the we. By the way, it's that way every place I go. There are people in this church. A man came to me, one of our good men, and said, he handed me some money. He says, you do whatever you want to do with it in the Philippines. Not a Filipino. Just handed me, and it wasn't $5 either. He said, whatever you want to do with it. And I said, I know exactly what it's going to. It's going to Davao area where that brother that I've worked with all those years named Lito, Pastor Lito, died. His wife is going to have over $500 from somebody in this church, which will help pay her bills for 6 months. Yes, that's missions. Missions is not sleeping. It's not sending a bunch of teenagers to look like pigs so they have some entertainment and come home happy. Missions starts in a local church, with that local church, results in local churches, and all we're going to do in our church, besides send missionaries to plant churches, we're going to support all kinds of different people, from Noel to myself to Franco to Pastor Malone, which goes to Liberia, Trinidad, and Tobago. He does the same thing I do. And we go there to what? Build up pastors and local churches. Look at me. You want to dig a well in Africa? Get the money to Pastor Malone. He'll get it to a pastor. Don't you go over there and spend $10,000 what they can do for $500. That's foolish. That's not missions. Same with all those kinds of things. I can still remember, we have the sign back up here. That was from Linda Kinji's dad's church. He started that church. I remember when I got the letter from them and they said, and he told me, he says, Pastor Warren, we can build the church, people-wise. We can build the structure. They take mud and a few other items and they make their own bricks. He says, I remember when Mr. Kinji told me, he says, they just can't afford the metal. I know people that might be able to afford the metal for a roof. We can do that. By the way, why? So now there's Trinity Baptist Church that is a successful Bible-believing church for people that were here back 15 years ago or so when we helped that church. That's what we're going to do. So let's go back. Missions begin with a local church. They result in local churches. Doesn't mean every church, every missionary has to plant local churches. But what Duncan's doing here, I almost said Drunken Duncan again. I got to drop that drunken part. What Jim Duncan and Fawn and others are going to do is they're going to come, look at me, they're going to come alongside of a local church and in one way or another help that local church. So that local church then can grow and flourish, train some people, send people out into other places. Ade told me today, he says, if you go to Cameroon, Young wants you to go where he's from too. It's like, oh, great. I go over there for 2 weeks, I'll be so dead when I come back. And by the way, it's very cool in Cameroon. Oh, brother. Oh, I can't wait. Yes, I could melt a little bit. You know, I'm like the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz, you know, melting, but it take me weeks to melt. I don't want to melt like that, though. Well, let's look, if you would, Acts 14:24. And we're done for this evening. May I say this, friend, I'm very excited about what some folks in this church are interested in doing. I'm very excited for the people in this room that are excited about that. If churches in third world countries are having problems, they're not having problems with not being godly. They're having problems because they have no training, and oftentimes they have no money. But I can't send money to this big black hole. Any money, the Kindles, all of that is going to specific pastors. In a month, we're going to have a church service like this or so on a Sunday night. And we're going to show photos. And you're going to be able to see, Lord willing, the pastors holding in their hand the Kindles that you bought for specific men. You're going to know where they're from, what they do. That's the work. Why? Well, we come to the last idea. Chapter 14, verse 24. But when the word of God grew and multiplied, and you know what? I'm in the wrong chapter. It helps to get into chapter 14, doesn't it? 14:24. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, that's where they were establishing those churches, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch. Now, this is the Antioch in Syria, the third largest city in the ancient Roman world, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. In this text, please look at me, you have Baptist missions. Here it is. Begins with a local church. They go out. Not everybody's doing the same thing. Pastor Malone is not going to Liberia to start churches. There's godly men doing it all over. He's going there to train pastors. But in some fashion, it results in local churches, our strengthened local churches, our trained local churches, our encouraged local churches. And then thirdly, it begins with a local church, results in local churches, and reports back to a local church. Because, hear me, too many people doing missionary work. Jenny, we're in another country. I'll skip the country. Her and I. The missionary says to us, are you all awake? Is this a true statement when I get there? The missionary says to us, one of our missionaries says, a couple's coming to visit. Please don't ask any questions about their work. They're friends of ours. We need people to speak English to. Basically, they had spent a lifetime in a third world country and had never done anything. Where were the local churches that they were to report back to? And actually, I have found, look at me, that man and his wife, his dad was a missionary, and his dad hadn't done anything for a lifetime. There was two generations of missionaries that had done nothing. Please look at me. Jim Duncan, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I always do. When I go to the Philippines, please look up here. On the last day of the conference in Davao, we might have 300 pastors in Davao. On the last day of the conference, there's this squirrely pastor that comes in. He never takes a note. He never learns anything. He shows up the last day of the conference to do what? He takes pictures and sends them back to America for money. And in Haiti, Franco's work becomes somebody else's. And in Kenya, our missionaries, their work becomes somebody else. And poor dumb Americans just eat it up. You listen to me, friend. The money that God has given us, and we're not wealthy, we're going to use our money, our time, and our ability to support people like Emmanuel Malone, whom we know, that will come back here and talk about it. Noel Hippolito, Cliffy when he's ready, Romeo if we can get him ready. And every, by the way, because here's missions in a nutshell. It begins right here. It results in local churches all over. And then those people report back for the, look at me, the work which they have fulfilled. And if they're not working, they're not getting support. It's that simple. Let's stand. We're going to pray when we stand. I'm excited. Jim, I got to quit calling you Drunken Duncan. I'm going to get in trouble up here. I am excited because I want it. Look at me. I want every young person in this church to have an understanding of the work of missions. Yes, I want them to witness at work. Yes, they should see people saved where they work. But bigger than that is the local church sending forth missionaries to start churches and support churches and reporting back to the local church. That's the nature of missions. Are you part of it? Are you part of it? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together tonight. I thank you for the many people. Jim and Fawn have been doing this since my first year here, even before I got here. I'm excited about what they have done. Rick and Michelle helped many times. Now we have other folks that will step up and start helping in this work. I'm happy for Noel. Wow, what a blessing he is in places I've never been. I'm looking forward to Cliffy coming here and doing the same. Father, not because we're important, but because this work is important. The work of seeing folks saved, baptized, and organized into local churches who are able to be self-supporting, self-governing, self-propagating. Oh, Lord, help us to hear tonight, I ask, in Christ's name, amen.